Live from the Thoroughbred Chevrolet Studios at the East Valley Institute of Technology, this is Wrench Nation on 88.7 The Pulse. Car talk, car culture, car tips, car music, all that is car. With your hosts, Frank and Steve.
Yes, another edition of Wrench Nation on 88.7 The Pulse. I'm Steve, that's Frank. Hello, Frank.
What is happening, people?
Welcome back, and welcome to all the listeners on 88.7 The Pulse or online, pulseradio.fm. And everybody on YouTube, we're filming today, so hello there. 480-655-8870 is the phone number, 480-655-8870. If there's something going wrong with your car, this is the show to call because Frank can answer things for you and kind of point you in the right direction. Right, Frank?
Well, I got a crystal ball.
You do?
I bought it at Walmart.
I have, okay.
And it works sometimes.
See, you know what I use?
What do you
use? Is the lucky eight ball? You just kind of shake it?
You know what's funny? Actually, and there's a ton of mechanics listening to the show. You guys rock on YouTube. Good seeing you guys. The thing about what we see is this diagnostic situation where just code pull it. You can tell me everything with a code. So what we have...
So what kind of codes do you see? I've never actually been in a garage and see these magical codes.
I know, the codes...
So what comes
it's
up?
It's so mysterious.
Is the code upside down?
You know, I know.
Are there emojis in the codes?
It's like Morse code. I think code, when somebody says code...
Yes.
If you're going to get your car checked out and they say, we got a code.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think about it. Trauma rooms... People code.
Sure.
Morse code. If you didn't know it,
Morse
you were
code,
in the dark.
Hold on.
That's it. So what I'm saying is, why couldn't we figure out, instead of code,
something else.
More friendly, like...
You got to have the code.
Like problem.
What's the code?
Or something.
So
I don't know.
Like what's a code for something? Is it multiple numbers or is it pretty simple?
Yeah. The deal is this. And we got to talk about how your week was. You know, we always start with that. But code pulling is just kind of stepping into the window of... A generic of what your problem is.
Okay.
I always tell people, EKG tech, he does the EKG. That's a code pull.
Okay.
However, the cardiologist is going to come in and decipher the data. So you got to be careful.
Right.
And I'm not knocking the parts store. I mean, we code pull.
Sure.
I mean, I got a poor gal pulling up and check engine lights on and she's like, stuff's going to blow up. We'll check it out. So.
Right.
You know, but the deeper testing is data stream and that sort of thing. But
does it come up like that's a 13 or that's a 1396 and you have to look it up and go, oh, that means that the blinker is burned out.
Let me tell you something. A modern day vehicle will have multiple computers and they all have their own codes.
And that's why cars cost what they cost. There's lots of computers in there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that today. Today's show, we're talking about your favorite future is coming. Think of the Jetsons.
Oh, I'd love to think of that. I'd love the Jetsons.
Yeah, I do too.
Except I always thought that'd be a nightmare to have all those little ships flying around in the sky.
It is a nightmare. We're going to talk about that. Today's show,
Look,
we're talking about the autonomous vehicle, the robot vehicle. You know, people are being surveyed. And, you know, some of these surveys, let's face it, they're skewed.
Right.
But for the most part, a lot of folks are ready to get down with a self-driving vehicle.
Okay, let me just, I'm going to talk about that a little bit because I drove many years across country with my mom.
Yeah.
From here.
Did you drive?
I did. I was a driver.
And mom was chilling.
Mom was the passenger, okay?
All right.
So the last one we took was like from here, then up to Bakersfield, up to Northern California, up to Oregon, up to Spokane.
Wait, did you stop?
What'd
you do when you stopped?
Stayed in hotels.
That's it?
Well, we sightsee.
Yeah, all right. Would you see Bakers? There's not much in Bakersfield.
No, but in order to get to Oregon, we had to go up the 99.
Yeah,
And we stayed overnight in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Then we stayed overnight in
Wairika.
Which is where they first discovered gold. Not Eureka.
Why?
Wairika.
What the heck?
Because there's an Eureka.
This is National Geographic.
And there's a Wairika. And we stayed there. That's awesome town. It's where they first, you know, the gold rush of 1849.
Then
we went up to St. Le Morgan where my mom has relatives.
Okay.
So we stayed there for a while.
Right.
Then we took off from there. We were going to North Dakota where I'm from.
What were you driving?
We're driving mom's minivan. Dodge Caravan.
All right.
A great, great vehicle, really.
Yeah, yeah, not bad.
I got to tell you another thing that happened.
No, no, tell me about it. I want to know what happened.
So we came across through Idaho.
Right.
Coeur d'Alene, beautiful. You ever been up there?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah. No, I've never been there.
Oh, you need to.
I know about potatoes, though.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Had nothing to do with potatoes. Beautiful lake.
Right.
Then through Montana, the Missoula area and Flathead Lake, just beautiful.
Sure.
I love driving cross country. One of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Then to North Dakota, then down through the Black Hills. You ever been there?
I have not.
Oh, Frank! You and I need to go to the Black Hills.
I've been all over the world, but I haven't been really all over the country.
We should do Wrench Nation at Sturgis.
I'm saying we get a Volkswagen Beetle.
We ought to go to Sturgis.
Sturgis?
Don't you know what that is?
I do know what Sturgis is.
We ought to head over there.
I don't know about Sturgis, though. You said Sturgis. I just watched the show.
What's wrong with Sturgis?
I don't know.
Don't you ever watch American Pickers?
Yeah, no.
They went to Sturgis.
We could definitely hang in Sturgis.
Anyway, Black Hills is the most, in my mind, the most beautiful place. Then we came down through the Black Hills over to Yellowstone. Been there?
I have not.
Frank!
I'm telling you, man.
Frank!
I've been to the Philippines, though.
Okay. Germany?
Yeah, I've been to Deutschland.
But you haven't been to the most beautiful places in America.
I'm telling you, I have not been. I've got to, we need to do this someday.
Yes.
We'll do a little collection bucket.
Yes, there you go.
Wrench Nation tour.
Down through Wyoming,
right?
Then through Colorado,
and
through
Mama's
New Mexico.
Good. Mama's good.
23 days on the road.
No.
Yes.
Holy cow, man.
Yes, and then we came back here. But what I was
saying, you guys fight over music?
I don't even remember what I was. Oh, you know what? No. I always control the music.
Okay.
Yeah, but she'll say turn it down.
Yeah, she said.
She didn't like it, but she
said, son, you're the DJ.
Yes, exactly. And she listens to the show every morning.
She listens, and she likes all
kinds of music. Yeah, she does.
Well,
so anyway.
Hopefully she's listening to the radio station.
The point I was getting to was, man, when you're driving on those roads in the open places like Wyoming and New Mexico, you almost doze off and fall asleep. So it sure would be nice to have a car that drives itself.
Yeah, but there's some problems with that.
I imagine we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will. But, you know, this was a decent week. You know, we have to make an announcement for all of our Wrench listeners via YouTube, Twitter, and Radioland.
Yes.
You guys rock. Guess what today is?
Today? Oh, wait. Don't do it yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't do it yet.
We have a special announcement for all of you that have stopped by.
Que no adivina, adivina. Bien, regreso, regreso.
Today is show number 15.
Yeah, it's our quinceañera.
Quinceañera style, baby. That's right, we're talking about 15. Oh my goodness. I don't know how to do
that. The song is called Boom Boom.
Boom Boom. Oh my goodness.
See that?
All right.
That's Cumbia King.
It's our 15th show up in here, and you know, we're going to celebrate a little bit quinceañera style. Now, quinceañera.
Yes.
I've
DJed many a quinceañera in my day.
That's for women.
Many. Yeah.
We need to get some women on the show.
We would like somebody to call it 480-655-8870. Something's got to be going wrong with your car. You have a question about maybe you want to buy a new car, whether or not you should trade this one off or you should get it fixed. Or
maybe
your air conditioner, your tires.
Yeah, you got an estimate or something, right? Because sometimes you run into a problem where you're taking your car and you get this estimate and... You know, we talked about EKG. You pull out the EKG pedals because he got a heart attack from that. So, you know, that's something. This is a car care community, and you guys can always count on us. And we also have the @WrenchNation Twitter.
Yep.
We're 24/7 on Twitter.
And Facebook.
And Facebook. We do have some giveaways. We're going to do second segment. We'll get those out. But on today's show, you know, we're talking about the self-driving cars and the technology behind that. And I was just reading something, Steve, I got to share with you. This is hot off the presses.
All right.
Now, every car manufacturer out there would love to try and figure out how, because collisions are going to happen.
Right.
In fact,
sure they are.
The Google car out in California.
Did that get in an accident?
It did. Now, in all fairness to Google.
It wasn't that fault.
They're brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, what they said is.
By the way, I nicknamed myself the Google.
The Google?
Because I know everything. That's what I claim.
I'm going to test you.
So when I go out to eat, I literally say, and they say, what's your name? I say, the Google.
The Google.
Yeah. At Chick-fil-A, they know me right here as the Google.
You look like a Google kind of guy.
I kind of do.
But, you know, manufacturers are always figuring out ways to, you know, keep cars safe. That's a priority. We all know this. One of the things, though, you know, is the pedestrian / collision of a car. Now, with a self-driving car, it was just reported that they're actually experimenting with an adhesive layer on the paint. Now, I'm not going to laugh about it, although it is seems to be a little comical. They're taking this very serious. The adhesive layer will be a sticky material and operate in a similar manner to fly paper or double-sided duct tape on
so
the car.
So it'll catch flies? I mean, my car already keeps flies in the grill.
This is the deal.
Right.
The self-driving car, psychologically, we're going to have this huge hump, right? We're going to try and figure out how the heck are we... I mean, most of us are going to be cool with it. We want to have our coffee. We can play games and we can... Whatever we want to do, and the car's driving
See,
on
I'm
its
own.
I'm
too much of a control freak.
I know. I'm kind of the same way. Yeah. I don't know if I could give that up. So Google... And many other autonomous vehicle companies, there's many, we'll talk about that here in a minute, they're sort of playing around with this adhesive sticky layer, because what happens if you get hit by a car,
right?
You bounce.
Okay.
Right? So they're actually...
They want you to stick to the other car?
They want you to stick to the car that hit you. This is a story that was just released 20 hours ago.
So the car can't hit and run?
So today when a car runs into a pedestrian, right? It often carries the person along until the driver brakes. Driver brakes, and you go flying. So there is some science behind this adhesive. Maybe we'll do a YouTube video on it to see if it actually even can...
Wow.
Sticky stuff. And, you know,
I guess...
I don't know, man.
Your car sticks to the other car.
In theory,
I'm taking it with you.
In theory, it could work.
I always thought about, like, have you ever seen a car drive up on somebody's hitch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? I've never seen that. I always imagine that. Like, somebody, like, behind a vehicle and there's a hitch there. Just figure if I was coming right at that, I'd get connected to that car. It sounded like that, but different.
Well, you're trying to, it's like jumping on buses. Right?
Right.
You know, but the thing is this, with this sticky adhesive, you won't bounce. And I guess when you bounce off of a vehicle... That's where the pain comes.
But this would have to be...
So I don't understand it.
This would have to be a very, very sticky adhesive if you're not going to bounce.
And I mean, what happened? We're trying to make cars sexy. How do you make a gluey-looking car sexy?
Really? I mean, how sticky would it have to be that a car that weighs 3,000 pounds is going to bounce... Is not going to bounce off of it.
But they say an eggshell-like layer covering the adhesive would protect the sticky surface during everyday driving.
Okay.
In other words, because you imagine... I mean,
once you penetrated that egg layer, you're stuck.
You're stuck so that you're not driving around. Because you imagine if you're down in Atlanta, Georgia in the summer, you'd stick to every damn insect would be stuck to the hood of your car. That would be pretty gross. So this little eggshell layer, I'm just telling you, the technology is blazing. And this sounds very simple, but I guarantee you somewhere along down the line, there's going to be that some of this technology is going to stick, literally.
I got the Jetsons music because we're going to talk about that self-driving car. Yeah, you know, I don't want to fly around in the sky, though.
No, I don't think that's coming yet. No.
That's
although
not coming soon?
Elon Musk is working on some stuff. I love the Jetsons.
I do, too.
Wholesome goodness.
Remember the name of the robot?
Oh, come on. Flotsam?
No!
I don't know.
Flotsam and Jetson! It was... Rosie.
The robot.
What about the dog?
Oh, I don't remember the dog.
Rastro. I remember.
You know, you're testing me on this stuff.
All right. Registration continues next. 480-655-8870. That's 480-655-8870. If you call today with a question, we've got some giveaways. We've got a Domino's gift card, a DVD, and other good stuff. Call us now. 480-655-8870.
Self-driving cars your way.
All right. Here in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Ranch Nation Car Talk on 88.7 The Pulse. Call or text your questions now. 480-655-8870 with your hosts, Frank and Steve.
Yes, that's the number to call. 480-655-8870. Of course, we want to talk to you here on Ranch Nation. Everything you need to ask and know about your car and empowering your car. Well, how do you say that?
We are empowering car care.
Car care.
I mean, right now, there's probably a couple of people driving in the afternoon.
Yep.
The AC is just not blowing right.
Yep.
Maybe there's some brake situations.
Or the car's making a weird noise.
Or vibration at cruising speeds.
Good.
Or perhaps
good,
the car runs perfect.
Yeah.
And you're looking to get a window tint. You're not sure how to.
You know, one of my questions, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago because I bought my new vehicle. But one of my questions was, you know, whether or not I should have kept the truck I had because it was, 7 years old.
Well, you get to a point of no return.
8 years old.
You do get to a point of no return.
Right.
You do,
and at some point I said, you know what? Instead of putting $2,500 into this 8-year-old truck with 150,000 miles, I'm better off maybe moving on.
And, I think so.
And so I did.
You did. And you had heavy miles on it. And perhaps we've got a few listeners. We got some YouTube viewers out there. The thing is, where do you draw the line? And I always tell people, this is just a national statistic through AAA. 1,200 to 1,500 a year is about the average spend on a vehicle over 60,000 miles. Sure. So, you know, if you got any questions, give us a call. Until then, we are talking RoboCar.
Now, let's talk more about this because, you know, you have the Google cars that go out and drive.
And
they're taking the pictures and everything. And they even pulled over a Google car earlier this year. I guess they pulled it over. And there's somebody who's actually operating the car.
You see the look of that car? That car is so, cute. Who wants to pull over? It looks like a little mouse.
I don't know. Smart cars, to me, they look like dumb cars.
Yeah, you're right.
My neighbors have smart cars.
Yeah, you know, but those smart cars are coming. And that Google car, 1.5 million miles, man, of already proven, tested data. In fact, Volvo next year is going to lease 100 of these vehicles. Now, it's in a controlled road area of, I believe, in Europe somewhere, Sweden, somewhere. Okay. And they're going to start leasing these vehicles.
There are no people in Sweden.
So I think, what are they doing in Sweden?
A lot of open roads there.
Yeah, but I think everything is baby steps.
But with the Google car, is there somebody back at home base driving the Google car? Or is it literally just being done robotically?
No, I think there's, and I don't have the exact answer to that.
Right.
But the way it works with Google is they're probably inputting in their search engine, turn left, and the car just turn left. I mean, that's a silly explanation.
Yes, but you're right.
No, they've got it all down to a science, and they do have trailing vehicles and so on and so forth.
I just get concerned about that. That and drones.
Yeah.
That's for another show.
But if you could summon your car, if you were out at a restaurant, you could say, you could whistle.
Well, yeah, you push the little button. And
your car came
to
you.
Get on the app on your phone and you press 4.
It would be cool.
It would be.
But, you know, there's some problems. In fact, you know, most people are definitely on board.
Right.
However, like anything new, there's always going to be a certain crowd that's...
I'm hesitant.
I'm hesitant, too. Yeah. But, you know, Grand Theft Auto, the game,
right,
very successful.
Sure.
They've got gamers modifying the game, and they're actually, you know, they're creating these little self-driving cars on Grand Theft Auto, and they're destroying them. They're actually running around self-driving, killing people.
Oh,
I mean, that's Grand Theft Auto.
Picking up the hookers like they do.
Yeah, I mean, Grand Theft Auto, you know, that's that's your action. But, yeah, they've got 1.5 million proven miles, and, you know, the thing about it is, this has slowly been going on with the advent of a couple of proven technologies. That's radar.
GPS. Yep.
LiDAR, which is a little bit of light
in
radar. So they're going to paint a picture of where that car is going to be in nanoseconds. I think it's something like 1.5 million.
My problem with this, Frank, is that there's no way that robocar is going to know when little kid with bike gets out in front of him or dog runs into the street.
Well, that's,
I mean, is it sensing that?
Do they
Will
know?
It be able to sense that?
They're working on it. Now, LiDAR, if you took LiDAR, and I'm not going to pop this up. Well, let's bring it out right now.
Okay.
I'm going to show you this.
This
thing
is, it's called Fluke. Looks like you're opening up a wireless microphone
drill. So what it is, now this is a visual thermometer.
Okay.
All right. It's not quite
LiDAR.
You want
to take my temperature?
We are. In fact, I have another one.
Oh.
Let's see what your belly's reading
there.
Okay,
let's see. My
81. Belly. Let's look at the forehead. 89 degrees, 87, he's dropped. There we go. In the belly?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be 98.6.
There we go.
81 degrees in the belly.
All right,
must have ate some ice cream today.
Here's the thermal visual.
All right.
Now, a lot of mechanics will use this to, sometimes there's a radiator that has hot spots.
Okay.
You know, there could be a phantom issue with how the radiator's flowing, but here we are.
There you are. Hi, Frank. I see your face.
Hot spots.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, where it's 94.5 degrees.
The point is
that
now this is thermal.
Right.
And thermal is involved. I'm sure temperature readings are involved.
I see. So when it senses something with a temperature within a certain distance, it reacts.
Along with the fact that they're pre-programming what a dog looks like. You know, they're creating these character signatures.
Right.
The bottom line is that technology is there. And it's going to happen. And the thing about it is what has people, well, let's back up a little bit. There's like six levels. And I want to talk this more of the type of self-driving cars. Level one is basic.
Okay.
That's, you know, like no assistance at all. Okay.
That's basic?
That
basic
actually
is no
level
assistance?
Zero.
Okay.
Is like not a self-driver. Level one, you're going to have more stability control. So that's like your traction control. So when traction control takes over for your vehicle, if you're in the snow and you brake, anti-lock brake system is going to kick in, keep the wheels from locking up. That's level one.
Okay.
That exists.
All right. Yes. All
right?
Right.
Level two is more into sort of the collision assist.
Okay.
So on these newer cars, and maybe your truck has this.
All right.
If it's just the simple light on the mirror, you'll have a little light if you're driving in your lane on the freeway.
And it'll go beep, 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 beep.
Well, some of them will have a tone,
okay,
but the light will visually go off. That's a basic
sure,
level.
I've seen this in vehicles. Not in mine yet, but I don't know if it's
that's
there,
basically
but, yeah.
lane keeping.
Sure.
It's keeping the car in its lane.
Sure.
And that's a level
well,
two.
Well, you know, also, you could think about that when you're backing up with the cameras, a lot of those vehicles.
Absolutely.
They have that warning when you're getting too close to something.
That's right.
Yep.
That's part of that, you know, collision assist. And it's been around for several years.
Sure.
Level three is going to kick it up notches. And it's actually going to combine these automated functions and allow the car to be primarily in control for extended periods of time. So here we go. Now we're starting the basics.
It says
of
extended period of times. I'm wondering if
it's
it doesn't
not all
work
the time.
In certain situations.
This
or certain
is
areas.
The first level
okay.
where automation kicks in. And that allows the car, again, to be the computers take over for an extended period of time.
I think if you're cruising down I-40 or I-17 between Flagstaff and here, maybe you can do that.
So brake assist, right? So if you're driving, you're on cruise control, that science already exists to where you can set the distance on most of these newer vehicles where you that radar is going to detect the car in front of you and apply the brake.
Okay.
Now that's computer taking over,
sure.
right? And again, the lane changing factor, perhaps you've been driving 8 hours, you can get a little sleepy. There's technology that
exists
for that.
And I'm sure they'll figure it out, but I'm still a little hesitant.
Level four kicks in. Level four
okay.
kicks it in. We're getting there. And it actually takes all that autonomous that exists under that
right.
and keeps you from getting into danger. So it actually does more than just anti-lock brake and so on and so forth. It'll actually route you out of heavy traffic to find a place to stop if your driver, like if you're not responding.
Right.
So now it's taking over safety. So perhaps you're, you know, you're ready to pass out or something like that. You're, in other words, you're going to lose control of the vehicle. Level five.
I don't know if I want to live in this world.
Well, I'm telling you, the Jetsons would have been proud. Look, the
microwave. Yeah, I know that. But
microwaves are coming. Don't worry.
Right, exactly. You just say, hey, I want this kind of food, and it will generate that kind of food instantly at home. You won't even need to go out.
Level
five. It's
like
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, please.
There you go. But, I mean, the thing is, level five, we're getting closer to
right.
six levels. Level five,
all right.
that means that vehicle is essentially being taken over fully with no human input at any time, right? So you can essentially,
basically, you're getting in the door and going to sleep.
You have just signed over
your life
to the robots.
There you go. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo.
That's it. And so all of this is done, and it's done through sonar. It's done through radar and LiDAR
right.
and all these things. But I got to tell you something interesting.
What?
Radar has become a conundrum, a problem for guess who?
The police?
Yes.
Why?
Because that bandwidth, that radio bandwidth is
right.
now just clogged.
Sure.
Because years ago, we didn't really have cars with radar. So now, police municipal.
We always had radar detectors.
So there's,
we had those
right.
systems. I mean, I remember having
now,
that in
the
70s.
It.
My brother
that
had
was
one.
Pretty much it.
Sure.
But with all of this in the bandwidth.
Oh, yes.
It's now created. So, you know, they can get some false alarms.
Absolutely.
In fact, if you have a radar detector, I mean, there's special software you can get to kind of narrow it and pinpoint it down. But you couldn't go back 5 years to a radar detector that existed and put it today because that whole thing is clogged. It's all clogged up with stuff.
Oh,
oh boy.
Guess who's on the phone?
Oh, my goodness.
Guess who's on the phone?
Mama Leone, what do you got going on?
Mama Leone's on the phone.
Hello,
my
Mama
goodness.
Leone.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi. Are you ready, Mama Leone, for a robot car?
No.
No.
But wait a minute. No,
me either.
No, I'm not.
Mama Leone.
It's freaking me out. Well, you go in the car. Listen to this. You go in the car, you sit down, and you go.
Yeah.
And can you switch back to manual in these machines?
Yeah, you can. Unless you're...
You can?
Yes, you can. Unless,
could they put a bathroom in the car?
There's all like kinds
of... Like a latrine, if you will?
There's all kinds of stuff. In fact...
The thing is, I mean... I have another question on this whole scenario.
Yeah.
What are the insurance companies going to do? They're going to have to get their lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Rewrite their policies.
Well, let me kind of paint a picture about where this is going, because you mentioned insurance. But before I do, I got to ask you, Mama Leone, your feet hurt after a long day. Wouldn't you like to just not touch a pedal or even a steering wheel? Just kind of chillax back there and watch some old reruns of Dukes of Hazzard or something. Wouldn't you do that in your car?
One thing, if I had a hot day, I wouldn't want to sit in the car anyway.
All right.
Well, it's almost a hot day every day out here in Phoenix, Mama Leone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand.
You know,
I can. But
great, but they better get this squared away because I can just see a whole bunch of drunks on the highway and the cars drive themselves.
There's a lot of legality. In fact, New York State right now, there's several states, but New York State is one of those states where, because you got to legalize this, because state driving laws... You know, they say basically.
Oh, they have to say a person is
right, and so New York State, New York State is one of actually many states that are reluctant because their language, their legal language says you got to have a human driving this damn thing.
Exactly.
Right. So that's a problem, Mama Leone. That would I think be a problem.
Well, I mean, I'm picturing this kind of scenario of self-driving cars mixed in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
I know. And
I mean, it's going to be exotic.
So much traffic there, exactly.
Well, this is what we've got. You know, General Motors just partnered up. Well, in the last year for sure, they announced their partnership with Lyft. Now, Lyft is the sort of the arch rival to Uber, the popular Uber.
Sure, sure.
And, of course, we know that we've got a younger generation that says, hey, man, we don't need to drive like my grand. You know, they're okay with ride sharing. They're okay with taking public transportation. The first generation ever that says, I don't really need a car. Well, GM and Lyft have partnered up. And I believe GM is putting something like $5 billion into Lyft because guess where they're going? They're going to utilize the autonomous platform. GM will sell the cars. Lyft will have that side of the technology. And so, you'll get into an autonomous driving vehicle to your next destination. Now, that is...
It's eerie, though, isn't it?
Well, it can be.
Isn't it a little eerie?
I guess.
You get in a car and it just...
Like, well, like Steve said, you feel like you're going to lose control.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just too much of a control freak. It's like I always have to drive. I don't like to be a passenger. And this is like, okay, I'll be sitting there, but I'm not the kind of person... who will just play games and stuff on my phone. I mean, I'll go on Facebook and stuff.
I would be sitting in that car straight up.
I guess if you put on reruns of, like, the Jeffersons for me, I might just watch that.
You know, there could be a whole list. We could do a whole show of what would
bar
you do
rescue,
inside
Hotel
your car.
Impossible, yeah.
But the fact is,
I'd be in a wreck in a car like that. I mean, at this point. I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, ancient and old-fashioned, but right now, thinking about it, it's like you get in a car like that. Like I said, I'd be sitting straight up.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Mama Leone, if we put an 8-track and slot it in a little Dolly Parton, you'd be just all right. Come on.
Dolly Parton.
I did have Dolly Parton.
Well, let me tell you that 44% of Americans were polled, and they said they would like to live in, Steve, a driverless city. people are okay. An overwhelming amount. 44%.
I would like to live in a governmentless city.
That's different. Yeah. If you're in a driverless city.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
Right, because no people are driving to make it, to make the danger.
Yeah, but I think what happened in car culture, driving is fun. The sound of an engine and all of this.
You still need a driver's license?
Well,
if you're living in a driverless city, would you need one?
Well, you know, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that's the big federal government arm keeping everybody safe within their vehicular situations, including the manufacturers and how they, you know, sort of they regulate all that. They said that artificial intelligence software in an autonomous car is the driver. So the federal government, now states need to kind of come in. And they said that artificial intelligence is qualified as
the driver. Interesting.
So, you know, now
okay.
from state to state, you know, but I want to back up a little bit. Mama Leona, you talked about insurance and what the cost would be. Well, guess what's coming?
No, not the cost. I mean, the cost, yeah, but how are they going to what? I mean, you're in a driverless car.
Right.
Let's say it malfunctions some kind of way.
Right.
And runs into the back of someone else.
The computer's going to know that, though.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be.
I think the computer's going to be able to tell you everything.
If you got a headache, it's going to whip out a little aspirin.
Right.
It knows you.
You know.
But the insurance companies are on board, and I'll tell you why, guys. In fact, many, many different industries are on board. Do you guys realize that we could be looking at a future of a $1 car?
No way.
Now, here's what I'm saying. There is some intelligent conversation, not coming from me, but there's some intelligent conversation across the country about the $1 car. Are you ready? This is how it would go.
Bernie Sanders gets elected and gives everybody a car for a dollar.
With the free college tuition, right.
Yeah.
The way a $1 car would work is this. Your dashboard is a valuable piece of real estate to Google.
Oh, and absolutely.
Apple. Now
it's
think
advertising.
About it. Exactly. So what would happen is if I'm State Farm, I may say General Motors, I will give you $6,000 for the rights to advertise on the dashboard. You see where I'm going? So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, there is a serious conversation going on about the $1 car theory, because all of this, look, we're going to be branded. That's one thing I'm not in agreement for. I think we should have the option as a consumer, man. If I'm buying a vehicle, I don't want to see all these advertisements.
No.
But people, it's coming. Yep. Apple and Google, they're all over it.
I'm glad I'll be dead then.
Well, I 2020 people, Mama Leone, oh my goodness. It's always great to have you on.
I'm on your side, Mama, with the car. I don't want the robot cars either.
We're going to catch you.
Yeah, I'm very leery about this whole business.
All right, when they're testing them in Sweden, do you want to go over there and be the test subject?
No.
Well, as a French station engineer, Mama Leone is flying out to Sweden to test the autonomous vehicle.
Oh, All right, Mama Leone. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Take care, Mama Leone.
Bye. 88.7 The Pulse. It's Wrench Nation. 480-655-8870. Wrench Nation on Twitter. Wrench Nation on Facebook. Why not a little Mr. Roboto today?
We need that.
There
it's coming, people. Right. It's coming.
We'll be back after this. Wrench Nation on The Pulse.
Wrench Nation Car Talk on 88.7 The Pulse. Call or text your questions now. 480-655-8870.
All right, having a good time like we do every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. It's our quinceañera today, 15th show of Wrench Nation. I'm Steve, that's Frank. And Frank has a quiz for me of some sort.
Well, before we dive into the quiz of quizzes for you, Mr. Steve, because you're coming a long way. You've been, this is 15 hours together.
You know what? My mom is so happy I know you now. Because she knows I've never been one to take care of my vehicle.
Your neighbors
she
will
knows,
be calling you.
She knows as you are now like looking over my car going, you're not going to screw this one up.
That's it. So, you know, we're on Twitter, and I got to give out the Twitter love. We've got a great contingency, a great community out there on Wrench Nation, and we want to give a specific shout-out to Miss Sonia Figuerera.
Hey.
She is our real estate rock star out of Chicago. Sonia, thank you for being a fan on Twitter.
I'm going to go over and pound on the window because the phone's ringing and Bree's not seeing it.
Oh, my goodness. Bree, where you at? So, and if you're listening on YouTube, thank you. We're a brand new show, and we're going to get better with the whole visual.
That was good for the YouTube because I was pounding on the window.
We got one lonely camera. We're going to work on that. But we are going to get some game show quizzing to test your knowledge on the 15th anniversary show here.
All right, since you have the answers and I have the ding-ding.
All right, can we get a game music.
You want some game music?
Well, yeah.
How about we have... it's not there. I got the game show sounds. I got the ding, ding,
that's
ding
fine.
In the buzz.
We're going to dive in and see what you're made of mechanically.
All right, give me some... Okay.
All right, so here we go. First question.
Okay.
A shorter exhaust pipe would generally be blank than a longer one. Louder or quieter?
A shorter
exhaust pipe. Would that be louder or quieter?
Let's see. Got further to... It's going to be...
Or just as loud. Does
it's going to be quieter.
Quieter. All right.
Is that right?
That is incorrect.
Oh.
It's okay. We're going to continue on.
Why is that? Well, you always see the big like cars with the... No, you don't. You just see the wider. They're wider.
So here's another question.
All right.
Which of the following can have a negative effect on fuel economy?
All right.
A dirty air filter.
Okay.
Improperly inflated tires.
Okay.
Misaligned wheels.
Yep.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Whoa, Daddy, let's see what you got. Yes,
you
are
100%.
That was the easy one.
I knew that one.
All right. Now, the coin test for tires involves placing a penny in the deepest tread of your tire with Lincoln's big old head facing the wheel.
Yep.
How much of that precedent should be covered for you to have safe tires?
Half of it.
Everything above Lincoln's nose should be covered.
Is that half?
Everything above Lincoln's chin should be covered.
Is that half?
Everybody, Lincoln's whole forehead, and as long as you have some part of the head covered, your tires will be fine.
I think I'm close.
You are right.
Yay!
Yes. You are a rock star. Yeah, you can get that penny. It can help you out. It's easy. Which of the following pairs of car brands would be the least likely to have interchangeable parts?
Interchangeable parts. Least. Okay, go
least
ahead.
Least likely. Okay. Volkswagen, Audi?
Okay.
Yes or no?
Volkswagen, Audi. I think that...
Least likely.
Least likely. Well, don't you have to give me more?
Well, is Volkswagen, Audi?
I don't think they can be interchangeable.
All right. Toyota and Lexus.
Yeah, I think they're pretty close.
BMW and Mercedes?
Oh, no.
Nissan, and go with BMW and Mercedes. You are correct. Different.
I was wrong then.
Toyota, Lexus.
Oh, I was right. I was right.
Yeah, you were
right.
I
said BMW and Mercedes. I said no immediately.
Yep. Now.
I got like three out of four.
Here we go. Okay. I'm going to give you the answers. You choose. When was the first NASCAR race held? 1922?
Okay.
1949?
Okay.
1955?
Uh-huh.
Or 1960?
NASCAR...
First race
It was not going on during World War II. I'm going to go 55.
55?
Yep.
Incorrect.
Oh.
It was officially incorporated in 1948. The first race, 1949.
It was right after World War II.
And they only had 13,000 fans at the time. Boy, they've grown. Here's the last one for you.
Oh, one last question?
One last question.
Okay.
Universal joints, often shorted to the commonly known U-joints on a vehicle, are used to connect a car door to the body.
Okay.
One spinning shaft to another.
Okay.
An engine to a transmission.
Okay.
Anything to anything.
What was the second one?
One spinning shaft to another.
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes!
Rock on.
Oh, I should get like, we will rock you there.
Yes, and
that
our
was a good one.
Cheesy little, hopefully educational. I can't believe NASCAR, man. They've come a long way.
There you go.
My goodness.
Well, I did well on the quiz. I got like
you
five
did.
Out of seven.
I think game one, show number one, you would have just, where's the hubcap?
Oh, yeah. I would have been lost.
So
all right, well.
You're coming along.
On the phone right now, it's Greg from you know where.
Oh, we got Mr.
Delaware.
Delaware's in the house.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, thanks for tuning and calling in, brother. We appreciate you, Greg of Buckley's Car Care out of Delaware, man. What are you up to out there?
Man, you know, I just got off a fantastic old-fashioned steam locomotive train ride.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
You talk about alternate transportation.
Yeah, steam, huh?
And you didn't drive it, but it was that could be driven by a computer, could not steam locomotive, but if they modified it,
anything's possible.
They had some kind of new kind of digital controlled engine on this thing.
Sure they could.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they've got it managed, you know, for all kinds of reasons, but you speak of the old steam. We're actually on our travel journey side of Wrench Nation. You know, we travel all over telling the story of our industry. This weekend, Greg, I'll be down in Tucson. We're going to tell the story of the old Pueblo trolley. It's pretty cool. It's on our Wrench Nation YouTube channel. We'll be filming that down there this Saturday, so look for that. But, Greg, you got to tell us, man, with radar and LIDAR and night vision and, man, tell. I mean, what's your thoughts? I mean, you talk to a lot of mechanics on the East Coast. Are mechanics afraid right now? I mean, we're going to be out of business?
No, I don't think it's a matter of being afraid. It's like, you know, anything else new technology comes in, there's going to be that period of adapting to it. But the better shops will have a handle on it.
They will.
And, you know, for the consumer, I think what we're looking at is, you know, there's no DIY. There's a less DIY market now than there was 10 years ago. There's even going to be less do-it-yourselfers. You just can't do it.
I mean, you just can't.
You're going to be, you know, the consumers are going to have to realize, you know, and the listeners, that you're buying a new car. It's so technologically advanced that you can't risk not having it run right.
Because, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Frank, if the camera is 1 millimeter off, you're gonna have a hard time staying on the road, because that's the car's eyes. So
that's right.
You can't afford to tinker with a vehicle.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it's going to be.
And already it's happening. I mean, if you think about, we've got LIDAR.
Yeah.
We've got, I believe we have LIDAR. People, don't quote me on that. I know we have radar. Because LIDAR, I know military has LIDAR, where we're actually painting a mapped picture, a colored map with dimension. But LIDAR is a great part of that. And the thing that it's already, I mean, with lane changing safety, brake safety functions where the computer takes over, I mean, we're going there. And I mean, if Google's already got 1.5 million miles, I mean, they did have a little accident in California recently.
Yeah.
And it was so, it was kind of, I mean, I don't want to call it funny. Nobody got hurt. But at the end of the day, Google said the computer couldn't figure that the bus would actually allow the little car, the Google car, to merge in front.
Oh.
So it couldn't detect the emotion of the driver, because the driver should have yielded. And
that's a great point, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great point, something that a computer is not going to most likely be able to do in any near future.
Right.
Well, see, there's where the question is, guys, is that the only reason it couldn't determine the logic between who goes first and who goes second is because the bus couldn't communicate with the car.
Right.
In the future.
Oh, good point.
They're going to communicate.
There'll be a signal.
You're right.
Permission to either one.
Because the bus will be driving itself too.
Right.
And computers are just going to communicate. Absolutely. Good point.
Yes. Yeah. That technology is going to happen for sure.
Right. Technology is just off the charts.
Sure, so, that's already there.
I mean, for your listeners who are going to be buying, not the model next year, that if they're looking for a car and they're buying one now or within 2 years, it's the one after that that will pretty much have a lot of what we're talking about. I mean, we think, you know, within a year and a half or 2 years, there will be autonomous situations on the road. However, when you talk about market saturation, that is probably looking at 5 to 10 years.
But Greg, look at when you're driving down the road in your classic 57 Chevy, and guess what?
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna be driving down the road in that now, and you're gonna be driving down hopefully the road in 20 years. You're gonna drive that. So what's gonna happen with the computer car that's driving itself? It's not gonna be able to communicate with that 57 Chevy. Not now and not
later.
That's
a good point.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah,
it will look for you more than you will look for it.
Yes,
that's the thing. It's radar, LIDAR, sonar. All of those elements, there'll be like a halo around the
one thing.
Vehicle,
one thing.
Sure that you don't.
Yep.
Right. And as time goes on, there'll be less and less of those cars.
I don't know. You said, and Greg, I think we're all in the same boat. A lot of our listeners are saying, I want to lose control of driving.
Right.
One of the biggest challenges for Google is what to do with the steering wheel. Psychologically, we like the steering wheel is associated with control. So Google is trying to figure out, I mean, do you have a self-driving car with no steering wheel?
I'll put my vote in right now. The vote is the steering wheel's there. And you know what? I guarantee you they could deactivate that steering wheel to the point where that car is driving itself and you could still be turning it if you felt more comfortable doing that.
Oh, like an airplane.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Put an autopilot.
Look, you also have to look at what that car with no steering wheel is going to be used for. It may be a small commuter-type vehicle designed specifically for city citizens.
Right,
you know, people
right.
who are going blocks, that are comfortable going blocks at 15, 20 miles an hour
sure.
instead of going down the highway at 50 or 65. You know, so there's going to be different variables
within these
makes and models.
There's another... What about robots? Can a robot get a vehicular manslaughter charge? What I mean, are we gonna have robot jails? How is that gonna work?
Yeah, Google's gonna be on trial.
Who? I mean, think about it. Who gets the blame for that? That's a big question.
That's where,
yeah,
you know, where Google's and Frank, I think you're privy to some of the stuff that I'm talking about. That you know, Google and whoever creates the car is going to be the one that accepts responsibility
sure.
for the vehicle.
Yeah,
and there's reasons behind that, which you guys were talking about prior, you know, with getting into the dash and taking over control of the vehicle, those type of things.
Right.
So, you know, there's a whole element, which is, I don't know if that plays out from the professional repair side. I mean, if the vehicle...
Well, I think we'll adapt. I mean, there's still going to be the mechanical aspect, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's going to be... Yeah, boy, if you're not getting the training and you don't have the equipment now, more so than ever, people and a lot of garages, unfortunately, you know, that's the case. And they're unfortunately, well, I mean, it's a plus for the consumer. You don't want to go to a garage and they're going out of business, those guys and gals that don't keep up with it.
I think a wise thing for the listeners, the Wrench Nation in general, is that if you're out looking for repair centers, as we've always talked about, you know, you really have to look for the quality of the repair center that you're going to. If you do have a car that's more modern than most, if it's something that, you know, within a year or two and you're looking for someplace to maintain it, you know, it's absolutely positively correct.
Yeah. You know what I say? This is right now. It's all about, look, wherever we go as consumers, if I go to a hotel,
right,
I get a concierge.
Okay.
It means a lot to me. I mean, I'm new to the town.
Tell you the restaurants, everything. Sure.
Restaurants.
Take care of things for you.
You name it, there is this concierge experience.
Yep.
And a garage has got to provide that.
Well, they're going to have to.
They
got to
provide.
Because
people
are going to
have questions. Yeah.
Here's what I fear with all these big car makers making these cars. It's going to be territorial. They're going to want everything from that car is going to have. Because is your garage going to adapt? Is Desert Car Care of Chandler going to be able to fix those computers that pretty much dominate these cars? Or is the local garage guy going to go the way of Blockbuster Video?
Yeah.
No, I think that
it's possible. It's already happening. It's happening.
Well, it happens to those that don't wish to advance themselves. I mean,
that's right.
Shops, you know, with Frank, myself, and a host of other really, really great shops across the country.
Right.
You know, our goal is to be there for all the consumers.
Right.
You know, and manufacturers, look, they want to make a car, they want to sell a car, and then they want to forget about the car. You know, and that's the truth. It's the dealers that look for the service dollars.
Sure.
The manufacturers.
Sure. You're right. No, you're right.
Experience from anybody that's qualified to work on that unit.
Good point.
Right,
good
right.
point.
Who purchased
You're right.
that brand.
The manufacturer, you know, doesn't care. It's the dealers who need the service work.
That's right.
Right. So sure. The manufacturers want a quality experience for the consumer who purchased their product.
Yep.
So therefore, if you are an independent and you're qualified and you have the materials and you have the knowledge and you can produce that experience, you are welcomed everywhere.
Yeah, that's good right. points. So.
Good points, Greg. We appreciate you. On as a contributor. You guys, if you're in Delaware, check out Buckley's Car Care. Mr. Buckley, we're going to see you next time around. We appreciate you hanging, as always, on Wrench Nation.
Thank you, Greg.
The Wrench Nation wild and wacky news on wheels.
Oh, boy. Since we're talking about driving, I figured, you know what? There's a few ridiculous, weird traffic laws going on. And in Eureka, California.
Eureka or Wyreka? Because we talked about
this
earlier.
Well, this is Eureka proper.
Okay.
You can't you cannot pull over and use the road as a bed. You can't pull over and sleep on the road.
I was thinking about it.
It's just what it is.
There have been a few times I would like to.
Now,
use the road as a bed?
In Connecticut,
wow.
It's illegal to hunt from a car even if it's painted bright orange. You cannot hunt from your car.
All right.
No. Now, here's one more. 30 days in jail await any hooligan who screeches his tires in Derby, Kansas.
Really?
Yeah.
Right,
and another one in Arkansas. Don't blame your horn at arrest. Don't blare your horn, I should say, after 9:30 because, you know, you'll get a ticket. You
people
can't
be sleeping.
People sleeping, man. It's, yeah. So there's your weird traffic laws. And, you know, we didn't get a chance. Speaking of weird, we didn't get a chance to call Hong Kong Greg.
Oh, no.
If you're listening, Hong Kong Greg out of China, we love you. Don't worry. We're going to get you on and give us a report out of China. We look forward to that. Steve. Number 15,
number 15,
baby.
Number 15, Sweet 16 is next week.
That's right. And
that's
we,
right. We're going to have to get big celebrities.
That's right. I want to thank all of our listeners and tune in over there at Twitter, YouTubers, you rock. And
BetStation.tv for the
on Facebook, the, yep. If you've got questions, connect with us. And you guys rock on. We appreciate you listening to the Wrench Nation. Happy hour here with Car Care.
We'll see you here next week. Same time, same place.